This is Sounds of Science. For Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, I'm Jeff Bogoliskis. The next generation of toys could be controlled by the power of the mind, thanks to research at the University of Warwick. Led by Professor Christopher James, Director of Warwick Engineering and Biomedicine at the School of Engineering, technology has been developed which allows electronic devices to be activated using electrical impulses from brainwaves. This is done by connecting our thoughts to computerized systems. Instead of handheld controller, a headset is used to create a brain-computer interface, as Professor James explains.
The idea behind brain-computer interfacing, or BCI, is not new, actually. It's been around for a while. And in fact, you can find some gadgets on the market already which purport to do this. And the way it works is you put an electrode on the scalp, and the electrode measures changes in electric field on the scalp. And from that change in electric field, we deduce the underlying thoughts. So the idea being you change your thoughts, you change the electric fields, and therefore we can use that as a signal. And you can use that as a signal to move a cursor on a screen, to move a joystick, you know, whatever.
Some of the most popular toys on children's list is Santa, such as remote-controlled cars, helicopters, and toy robots, could all be controlled via headset using the power of thought.
The idea would be that simple games that require user interaction. So, for example, we have a popular board game called Scalextric Slot Car Racing here in the UK, and we've got basically an off-the-shelf Scalextrics, and we've created our own handsets, which are essentially our headsets, where we used off-the-shelf BCI headsets and interfaced to the Scalextric. So basically two players both have to essentially empty their minds to increase the speed of their car. So you have two people competing by trying to empty their minds, which of course is a bit counterintuitive.
As Professor James noted, brain-computer interfaces already exist, but their functionality has been quite limited. Just what are their current limitations?
I think there's two. One big one is cost. Classical sort of clinical grade equipment, as you can imagine, is very sensitive signals we're measuring, usually requires thousands of pounds. However, the market has shown that, you know, these games that are on the market are available for hundreds of pounds or even less than £100. So the technology is getting better in that sense. The second limitation is the electrode itself. You need to make a good contact with the scalp. And usually in a clinical setting, you would use a paste or almost like a glue to attach the electrode to the scalp. The gaming headsets, obviously for convenience, don't do that. It means you get a very poor connection. But if you assume that you can get a poor connection and you can get an affordable system, the rest of the system is doable, and we can do it now.
Professor James plans to continue his research on brain-computer interfaces. So what does he think is the future potential of this technology? And what are some of the applications other than those already discussed?
Around the Christmas time, you know, we're talking about the use of technology to control simple games. You know, the deeper uses of this type of technology, of course, is in allowing people to communicate, people who don't have the ability to communicate, such as in locked-in syndrome or other type of very debilitating type of illnesses. Again, it may not necessarily be around moving something, like you could move a wheelchair or something like that, but it could also be more simple, as in operating an online keyboard or moving a cursor on the screen to enable an in-house assistive technology, turning the lights on, calling the nurse, you know, that sort of thing.
Thanks for tuning in. For Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News' Sound of Science, I'm Jeff Bogoliskis.